Live from Los Angeles, California, AfterBuzz TV, and America's Voice, this is The Trump Report. You ever have that feeling that you've been somewhere before and then you're there again? I think it's called deja vu. And welcome to the Deja Vu Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And joining us for the first time ever, hopefully the first of many appearances that he makes here on the Trump Report, Michael Klaus, contributor to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and host of I Could Never Be... Michael Klaus.
Thank you very much.
Who can be found online at The Only MC?
At The Only MC on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, and the show I Could Never Be is on Apple Podcasts. It's on the Popcorn Talk. We do it just a few studios down. It's great.
I didn't even realize it was Popcorn Talk. So
yeah,
that's great, though.
Pop culture and movies on Popcorn Talk.
And you officially cannot do an episode called I Could Never Be on The Trump Report because now you're on The Trump Report.
Because,
yeah, so
well,
you got to That was your plan for next week.
Yeah, new plan done. For Monday. Let me call.
Scrap those plans.
I need you.
But it's a real brotastic evening here because then on the other end of the desk, the one and only Scott Moore at S-Man 80. Welcome, gentlemen. So, you know, we'll get down to some real manly man talk. That's what's going to be the big difference. There's a lot of places where we can start, but since we are so manly, let's talk about some sort of late breaking news today, which is President Trump saying that he'd like to have a military parade. You know, I don't like to be someone that, you know, really says Russia, 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 and link things back to Russia all the time, you know, and the interference and, oh, Russia and Putin. But where have I seen those kind of military parades before? Mm-hmm. Okay, China, sure. I know, Russia. But, and look, I mean, I guess it's, you know.
Don't forget North Korea, though.
Yeah,
that's
true. They love to do,
military
parade there.
So I'll start with you, Michael. So you hear that. Let's try and see the glasses half full. What would be positive of having a military parade?
The bonding time of bringing everyone together. It's like, I'm sure he also saw the one go that, you know, Philadelphia is planning. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl. And it brings everyone together. I mean, even the night of the Super Bowl, look at how much fun everyone was having in the streets
together.
People
had so much fun in Philadelphia. I mean, let's be honest.
The streets were packed.
Yeah. I mean, it was standing room only, you know. You had to bring your own trash can to throw through a plate glass window. Are you hoping for that kind of pomp and circumstance?
I think so. And if we have that, he might actually be able to say he has the biggest crowd at a military parade.
Oh, now see, that's true. So, of course, you know, if he invites the Eagles, they won't necessarily all come, so that might be a problem. Scott, what are your thoughts when you read this? This was actually, I saw your text about it before I even actually saw the headline. So
that's how breaking it was.
That was such breaking news. You broke the news to me. Give us your thoughts about that as to why he, as in President Trump, thinks it's a good idea.
Well, I mean, maybe he wants to have a bigger parade than North Korea, you know, like the bigger button than... But I also think it's great. Hey, why don't we show off the 2018 versions of the tanks, all the, you know, fighter jets that they can carry out and show what our tax dollars are going for. So it'd be great. Like, let's show those $1 billion pieces of equipment.
My concern about this is a lot different
than
some of the buzz, the chatter that I've seen, which is, so you're going to put all of our military vehicles out there. And so we'll just take a couple of drones overhead. Like, all right, let's get a picture of a couple of those. All right, we'll draw up some schematics. And, you know, I think it's just, it's like announcing what your troop deployments are going to be. You know, it's like, okay, so we're going to be in Fallujah on Thursday. It's like, okay,
at 10 a.m.
So we've got 12 of these, you know, plate glass armored SUVs. You know, just 12, though, because obviously if we had 15, they would have all been in the parade. I find it surprising that it took this long for him to try and get some perestroika, you know,
now,
just to bring it back
now
around.
Do we think this is included in the Defense Department budget already, or are we adding on top of this now?
No, I think that this is kind of the party planning committee budget.
Exactly. Okay. I was going to say it's
kind of
the
events budget.
It goes along with, you know, any kind of other events, like the Easter egg roll.
Right.
Although, you know what, maybe this means no Easter egg roll.
No.
You know, and if you want to make it sort of military themed, the Easter egg roll could be a hand grenade roll. Look,
right.
I'm just spitballing right now.
Just throwing out ideas.
And for those of you watching live on YouTube right now, welcome. Thank you for joining us in the chat. Let us know what you think. What sort of events should there be at the military parade? Let us know. And if you're watching this after the fact, you can tweet us at Trump Report ABTV. In any case, I Michael, this is the first time you're here. Scott's heard me say this many times. I can't be surprised anymore at the things that come out of this president. And just a week removed from a State of the Union address that, well, as I said last week, you know, the first hour was hard for most people to dispute. Mm-hmm. There were a few people on the panel that had no problem, but in general, you know,
people find a way. No
it was
what.
Fairly mm-hmm. well received. The polling is what the polling is, but I saw a poll that had a 63% at mm-hmm. least, you know, favorable or good rating. I like that it's not just good; it's favorable. It's like you know, when you think when I think back to myself as a student, especially you know in high school, it was. Favorable. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a good student, but it's favorable. No.
Yeah.
You know, I tried. I was relatively likable.
Did your teachers like you? Okay.
For the most part, yeah, I think that they did. So, yeah, I was a favorable student, and he had a favorable reaction to that. And it's just, you know, and we'll talk about the memos in a moment. It's just there's always – he just can't stay out of it for very long, you know? And it's all his own device. It's all his own making. But – I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that we heard this. But the real question is, who's going to the military parade? Michael, you going?
I'm just waiting. They haven't released the dates yet, obviously. No. I have Southwest on hold.
Yeah, that's good.
Fourth of July. To go. If you're going to think 4th of July.
That makes
Maybe
sense.
His birthday. I don't know.
Ooh, birthday very would true. Be good. Very true.
You know?
Yeah. No, these are
June,
look, these
June
are,
16th. So sometime in the summer.
I'm sorry. You know Donald
you
Trump's
know
birthday?
His birthday?
I know pretty
should
much all
the, Should there be
birthdays.
A restraining order against you?
Is it June 16th?
1946.
Is he going to... wait, so he's going to be 72.
But,
wow. I'm. You know, this could be the whole show right here. Like, who else's birthday do you know?
I know pretty much all the presidents, so...
Okay, all the presidents.
Likeable or not. Not just...
All right. This
Garfield?
Is
1881 is when he was president.
It was when he's president.
Well, yeah,
but
I'm looking for the birthday.
Chester A. Arthur?
1881, 1885.
Okay, let's go a little easier. How about the Gipper? What's the Gipper's birthday?
Today.
Yeah, that's why I asked you. Trick question.
107.
Where's my birthday?
Next week.
Thursday.
Thursday. That was the 15th.
No.
Oh, it's the
8th. No, that's right.
Okay. Well, I was a week off.
All right.
But you're not a president, though, yet.
Yeah, give me time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there's our little run on birthdays. Since I brought it up, let's move it along to the memo. And Scott, I feel like the memo's been burning a hole in your pocket. There have been so many days since we did our last show if we had done this show a few days earlier, we would have done the whole show on the memo.
We would have.
And now there's plural memos. So
memos.
Give us your thoughts first about the release of the memo and then the contents of the memo itself. And we'll let you start, Scott.
Well, I mean, the release of the memo was... obviously politically driven, since it was crafted by Devin Nunes' staff, and it was down to 4 pages, and that was going to make it look as much that the FBI was trying to, you know, surveil in a way that wasn't appropriate to make the FBI look bad, and therefore I think they were hoping that it would make the entire investigation look bad, is I believe what their point was, although once it came out, it didn't look like it had as much meat in there to really make a big difference. And so a lot of Republicans that were sort of in support of it kind of pushed back a little bit more and said, no, we're all about the Mueller investigation. This is about, you know, a totally separate thing. But it was really much ado about nothing, in my opinion, when it was all said and done.
Now, if you could sort of borrow, I was going to say put on a different hat, if you could borrow a Make America Great Again hat for a second. Now, What do you see that could have sort of Trump and the base excited about the fact that this memo did come out? That, you know, basically all the right people didn't want it released, so that's why they wanted to see it.
Right. No, of course. And I think if you are the base and you are a hardcore Trump fan through and through, you're going to feel like this vindicates Trump's thought that, you know, these high-ranking FBI officials were tainted by Democratic... you know, allegiances, Democratic Party allegiances, that is. Democratic is a whole separate thing. That Trump...
You're talking about Democratic, capital
Party.
D.
Yes. Yes. And so for them, they're thinking this is great. Like, this is proving the point that, you know, they're justifiable, that this whole investigation towards Trump is a witch hunt, and you can see it right here on paper. But, you know, again, this is like the Cliff's Notes version of things that were going on that was done with a partisan look at it through staff that works for, you know, Devin Nunes. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. But the big thing, which we'll talk about, is going to be, is Trump going to allow the Democratic memo to be released?
Yes. And so,
then we'll see, you know, if he does that, then we could be like, okay, well, at least we're seeing both sides.
Right. And we will get to the Democratic memo. But first, Michael, so, you know, there was all this buzz about the memo. And, you know, you hear about it off in the distance. You see that it's trending on Twitter. And you figure, like, wow, so many people are talking about this. This thing's going to be great.
It's going to be very, some amazing details in there. It's going to just blow the lid off everything. Watergate number two.
Yeah, it's like oh, hey, there's an eighth Harry Potter book. You want to read it? It's right here. So
he had his popcorn ready from the popcorn network. He was ready.
Everything
he was
ready to go.
With that popcorn.
And it, you know, my thought was, and it, I've thought this before, when, you know, big things are going to come out and then they're revealed, that there will, and this is, with this is a lot of things, there will never be another Watergate, because there's too many chances now to beat information coming out. And when information comes out, you have enough people on both sides getting their story out that it will never be a big story. There will never be something that's like, oh my goodness, how did we not know about this? This is 0 to 100. In the case of the memo, it was 0 to 10, 10 to 20. Certain people are getting this. More information is getting leaked. So I was trying to control myself of like what I was expecting. I was expecting more.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's still a fair amount of information that's come out and talking, like, you know, the big thing lately was like, what charges are they even looking to pursue against, or could they pursue against Trump? Like, what are you looking into him for based on all of this stuff? Like, what is the crime?
Right.
And so I think that is, again, more of this is kind of building that puzzle. But as far as the puzzle being complete, no, we're nowhere near.
No, it's more it's more of like, okay, so we bought a bunch of puzzles down at the toy store, and we haven't put them together yet, but we have like boxes and boxes of puzzles. Yeah. And maybe sometimes we take some puzzles from this set and we try and cram them into this other one, and so far nothing fits together.
No.
But it's just sort of the idea that, yeah, we do want to put together some puzzles.
Yeah, and so I think some great information came out. I'll be very interested to see what the Democratic one of how actual polar, maybe are they each so polarizing? No, this is what was said, but no, literally the opposite was said. You know, compare and contrast the two. But I think there was some decent information about how people went and pushed a document in the Dozier, the dossier, excuse me, that was unverified, and that was, you know, according to this Republican memo, a significant part of how the court decision was made.
Yes, right. Not Brian Dozier, Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was close.
Yes.
So my thinking is this, that the Democratic memo actually doesn't have anything that interesting in it, but then Trump's going to decide not to release it. Mm-hmm. So then everybody thinks like, oh my God, what's in there? And he's like, believe me, this is for the good of the country.
It's 2.5 times as long.
Yeah.
10 pages versus
it's
4.
Right. It's all these rebuttals. Or he's just going to say they're all full of lies and there's no reason that needs to come out. That's what's going to be interesting to see, if he actually allows that to come out.
Do you have a theory, Scott, as to what might actually be in it? You know, is it going to just be procedural?
I think it's going to be kind of dry. Exactly what you're saying. It's going to be dry, and it's going to be rebuttals and basically going point by point to each of the things that was in this memo and basically saying the opposite, more or less, or why it's incorrect and this is what really happened. You know, but the thing, going back to that, though, is with the FISA court, you have to go through so many hoops to be able to have it approved. And the fact was, it was renewed after this time period as well, several times, I believe. So it's not like, even if it was the basis for it, there was obviously enough there to keep the warrants going several times. So that's something that's sort of left out, because this is, you know, basically a snapshot of a very specific period of time, which again is why it's hard, because you're not seeing the whole picture. And it's also, we're never going to, as the American public, going to see the whole picture anyways, because it's also classified for the most part. And this was the little bit that they were able to let out. I just don't know why the alarm from the FBI, because it didn't seem like there was anything in there that was that juicy or that much that was going to put public safety at risk. It didn't feel like it was that much, and it felt kind of odd that they were so uncomfortable about it being released in the first place.
Are you grouping in with that of the FBI in addition to Democratic lawmakers who kind of said the same thing?
Well, that I could see is more of a partisan thing, but I was a little bit surprised by the FBI's reaction of being so concerned about it going out. Because once it came out, I was like, there really isn't anything there that I felt that was that top secret. I don't think it was appropriate because it probably shouldn't have ever come out to begin with, but the overall alarm about it seemed a little surprising to me from the FBI of just being like, this is terrible, this should never come out. I get where they're coming from, but it lends itself to making it seem like there is something there to hide, and that's why they were so uncomfortable about it. When you look at it, you're like, okay, well, there's not that much there that felt that secretive or was going to really damage national security or anything like that. I didn't go into super detail about how things are done and why and how they go about with these warrants and what they were doing exactly with the eavesdropping and the surveilling and stuff of that nature. So I don't know. It was interesting. Felt like something that you'd seen in a movie that you'd never imagine would be in real life, you know, like a spy thriller.
Yeah.
But overall, it really wasn't that interesting as far as the actual material in there, in my opinion.
It's more like a 1,200-page spy thriller, and this is like the first 100 pages where they're like just describing what the buttons look like on his jacket, and you know, you're like, does this pick up at any point? Michael, so let me ask about you're a good Midwestern boy, Wisconsin, I believe.
Yeah.
So let me ask about the folks back home and also the people that you visit with on Sundays at church. What sort of things, because this is a different, you know, it's a different background than the people we tend to get on this panel, you know, Hollywood insiders, show business moguls. You know?
Yes, me and me. Thank you.
Look, I'm right here. You know, I'm the host of the Blackcast. All right. Yeah, that's right. I'm that guy. Do you feel that in general, most Americans are really wrapped up in this Russia thing, and they feel like, oh, this is a really big deal. This is the crux of our democracy rests on this thing getting investigated and blown wide open.
I think, you know, maybe it was to start more than what it is now, especially considering it's gone on for a year and it's been like, well, what have we got? What people want to see stuff. I mean, especially in today's society of social media, they want to see the new thing every single day. And looking at the whole Russia, I don't want to say scandal or situation, maybe is the best way to put it, because, again, who knows what is actually going on?
There's a lot of theories. There are things that people feel very deeply. Some people at this panel feel like it's impeachment. Yeah, it's grounds for impeachment. Yep. I'm not going to point anything.
Certain people. Yeah. In the room of three, certain people.
Somebody. Look, I'm not saying somebody. It might be the couch. You know, it could be the couch.
I think people are over it to a certain extent, because there hasn't been stuff to come out. And even the charges that they've filed against people are charges of just lying to the FBI about a 1 out of 10 thing. Like, it's not anything that's like, oh my goodness, bombshell that has come out. The biggest bombshell that came out was from ABC's Brian Ross that a couple days later got him suspended for a month.
Right, and that sort of goes back to what you're saying, how hard it is to try and do Watergate, because everybody rushes. I mean, you know, think about, you know, it basically cost
Russia
Dan Rather.
Russia is, exactly.
Yes. Okay. But, you know, basically cost, I mentioned this not long ago on the show, it cost Dan Rather his career, how quickly they went with the memo about President Bush, you know. And
incidences like that, you know, obviously for Republicans are like, oh, yeah. But everyone is still like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help.
Look, I feel like there are plenty of legitimate news men and women out there that Absolutely. Want to get to the story. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes their outlet, whether it be print, TV, whatever, wants a little bit more out of them than they're willing to say, can you juice this up a little bit? Could it possibly be that this is that? This is that? So, I think to your point, though, people are kind of tired of hearing about Russia with no results. Yeah. If every day there was something amazing, then people would be really into Russia. And those are the tactics that I would use if the Russia, the story, the scandal, you know, the worst case scenario, if it was true, this is how I would get people to get off the case. Just make them so bored with it that they just don't give a damn anymore, you know? And I think that, you know, there's always a part of me that thinks like, you know, Trump's like this genius puppet master, and you know, he often knows what he's doing even when it seems like he doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
The heat's on him. Well, now we're going to talk about NFL players kneeling, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, every week that something big's about to happen, he finds something new, you know. So I feel like it's entirely possible. Scott, do you feel like people are starting? Is there a little bit of Russia fatigue, or is that not the case in the circles you run in? You know, the shoulders you rub here in Tinseltown.
Being a Hollywood mogul, mm-hmm. I would say,
yeah,
I would say that it is still a big story. But Michael brings up a good point, because basically, when you're talking about the Watergate time period, you only have three network channels mm-hmm. that gave you the news, so everyone's basically hearing the same news. You read your local newspaper. You don't have the type of basically digital media, anything that you want that basically caters to what you want to hear about and the way you want to hear about it. So that's why it's a lot easier for a segmented population. There's a majority of people out there who aren't even paying attention to it, because mm-hmm. they don't have to. They can go watch whatever shows they want from their phone, from their laptop. They don't have to listen to any kind of news. They can listen to news that, you know, goes in a conservative bent, a liberal bent, no politics at all.
They could listen to TMZ. They're on TV for an hour
right.
every day.
So, I mean, yep. there's a lot of things that you can now do and have no clue about day-to-day stuff. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but you have that choice of being able to do that. So for a lot of the everyday Americans, you know, I'm from Florida originally, another big swing state. For a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, my friends and family back home, it's not an everyday occurrence. But the second point would be that we don't know what Mueller's doing. And that's the point. Like, he's working with his team, and they're not leaking out things every day because they're being methodical about what they're doing. So we have no idea. Nobody knows except that group of what actually is going on and what they found and what direction this investigation has taken. So therefore, because it's sort of behind the scenes and quiet right now, it's very easy for people to kind of lose interest because it's not brought out every day, because we have no idea what they're doing and what they're finding at this point. And we don't know how long it's going to take for them to come to a resolution as well.
Yeah, I mean, I always think back to the best example for me of us just not knowing what there is going on until we need to. And
right.
that was, I believe it was 2011, President Obama, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Mm-hmm. He killed that night. He was so funny, making fun of Donald Trump yep. in the audience, among yep. other things. And just as a joke, you know, my boss at the time, Dennis Miller, the comedian, he was like, He was not an Obama fan, but he's like, but that it was like pro style jokes is
yeah.
what he actually
yeah.
said.
It was great.
Meanwhile, while he's killing it, killing comedy, he's got SEAL Team 6 killing Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. And you find out, you're like, wait, it's like exactly when he was on. It's like, wow, now that's a stone cold killer right there.
Yeah, that was good.
And
yeah.
that's a perfect example of like, yeah, we don't know what's going
right,
on.
Right, we have no
and
idea.
And Michael, Scott is always talking about how it's a long drawn out process for Mueller and the investigation, and that it takes time. And Watergate itself took a long time.
Right.
So that's why Scott's not,
months.
He's not qualifying himself to say that there'll be an impeachment in 2018.
No.
But,
ooh,
but
okay.
by 2019, it's
but,
possible.
Yes.
It's going to depend on the makeup of the House and the Senate, you know, a year from now.
Well, wouldn't you be? You should be pushing for an impeachment later on as it gets closer to 2020,
of course.
Right?
You, don't want the vote, you wouldn't get the votes now.
An impeachment
then you have the
in 2017, what would that have
right.
done?
Yeah.
Then you have
a
president basically has a full term there under his belt
yeah.
and can run for re-election, where the further along you get, the more of a chance at that person who's taking over would be a lame duck.
And do you suspect that person would be Mike Pence? You think his fingerprints are dirty too? Because I don't. I don't think Mother would let him
Mother
meet
would
with
not
Mother
let
would
him.
Not let him meet with Russians.
No.
He
especially
would, not
he,
Russian
he
women.
Be in Russian the room women alone.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen some Russian women out there?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't let I wouldn't
yeah.
let,
Mother
Mike
would
Pence
not
here.
Let that happen. So I agree.
So yeah, and I think I don't know. I find it all interesting, but you know, it's like the sort of the news junkie political nerd in you is like, oh, there's all this stuff. But for most people,
no.
it's like, I don't have time for that.
No, so if Trump would do himself a favor by not bringing it up regularly. If he didn't bring it up, it would make people even no, it's true, though. If he did not bring it up and tweet about it, people would be even more likely to kind of forget about it and be kind of back of mind. But the fact that he always tends to bring it up, like you were saying earlier, he can't help himself. He brings it up. And it puts it back kind of in the forefront again, because most people are not paying attention. And the less you bring it up, the better. And that's basically sort of what Steve Bannon had said when, you know, obviously they're not friends anymore. But it was basically like the whole thing when
Steve Bannon back when he had a job.
It was basically he wanted, and that was in Fire and Fury, so again, taken with a grain of salt, but he had basically said that he wanted them to kind of be the same tactics that the Clintons did in the 90s when, you know, the whole Lewinsky and the impeachment thing was going on, where they basically talked about all the good stuff going on and they never talked about the impeachment or proceedings or anything else going on with the trial. They just talked about everything else, and it worked for him. And that's why he was able to basically keep his job and keep those high approval numbers when he left office in 2000.
You know, when you think of the social climate of today, you have hashtag Time's Up, you have the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. Imagine if poor Bill Clinton was president now. How that would go for him. You know, good thing that you can, you know, get up to some shenanigans in the Oval Office back in the 90s when, you know, Michael, you're far too young to know. I mean, they say if you can remember the 90s, then you really didn't live it. And I don't know.
You're confusing the viewers who are going to think that I was a 90s child.
No, but I don't think that you remember the 90s all that well. You know, maybe like 99. You know? But by that point, you know,
I wasn't four.
What year were you born?
89.
Yeah, so okay, there you go. So you're 10. Yeah.
Made the cut.
All right, you did. You did make the cut. But yeah, just barely. And that just makes me feel old because I'm about to be 42 on Thursday. But that's all right. Speaking of things that the president isn't talking about, the stock market. Whoops. Now, there's a few theories on this. Him not talking about it, there's really no need to have a theory. It's just like, oh, that's not going well. I'm going to talk about the other things. That's great. One thought is that the president's tax breaks have started to backfire. And these are some repercussions there. That's for people much smarter than me, people that subscribe to The Economist. Although, honestly, the only people I know that subscribe to The Economist has they have a stack of them on a coffee table. And if you were to open it, it like creaks because you're they've never opened it. They're just trying to look smart.
Right. But they're worth more in pristine.
Yeah. You bag and board them like obviously, issues of Fantastic Four. Of that's what
National
I do.
Geographic.
Yeah, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, I'll start with you, Scott. Your thoughts on what's going on with the market? And, you know, look, I'm not trying to say you have a business degree.
Right.
So just sort of, you know, from somebody who just follows the news.
I casually, you know, have stocks, but that's about it that I would just ignore.
That's the one thing.
And then cry when I see how they did the past.
There's two things I don't have. One, stocks. Two, because I don't have money. So I would love to have stocks.
As a Hollywood mogul, I would say that's why I had, you know, some in there.
Well, I mean, you know, most of your liquid assets are, you know, I mean, there's the villa in Italy, you know, I mean, you just have houses all around. So anyway, go ahead.
And you can't say the last 2 days, because today was a good day for you.
Well, 2 days prior.
Okay. It's there was
today,
a turn.
A little bounce back.
Today is
they got half of it back.
Let me put it this way. The people that I know who do have money made a killing on the bad days because they're like, oh, I'm buying all this stuff.
Yeah.
And there are people who are actually disappointed that it started to turn around because they were hoping to buy some Alphabet stock, which is Google.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, man, I got to get in on that. And then it didn't.
And you still can't afford it.
Still can't afford it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, I actually got into a mini Twitter fight, and I'm sure a lot of it
with
was
Mitch McConnell.
No, I wish
with
some bots because I couldn't help myself on Friday when the first one tanked. Because my point was, and they said, you know, I'm a hater, and but they had like 11 followers. So, but I, you know, that I hated American capitalism. But I was basically saying the problem was former presidents did not talk about the stock market going up and down. It's stock market's like the weather, you know, when you're looking at day to day. It's not the overall climate of the economy. It's the day to day picture. And that's why presidents usually don't respond, because what goes up is inevitably going to go down. And if you're crowing about how amazing the stock market's doing under your watch, then it's only fair that I said that he should also be taking credit when it drops. And even though it wasn't the biggest percentage drop yesterday, it was the biggest point drop in history. And you could say on the positive side, the tax cuts are, you know, in the Republicans' defense, you could say the reason why the market was correcting was, for one, it has been way inflated for a long time, and it has been. And so this is a way of correcting it. But you could also say the tax cuts helped bring that down a little bit, because the issue that some people were saying was happening was the fact that now there was a little bit more money there, that there was now going to be higher inflation, which then was going to add more cost to everyday things, which was going to kind of put a little tightness on the making more money. But overall, it was based on sort of good stuff and the fact that they're claiming the tax cuts were good, but now they're accelerating people's wages a little bit too fast, and it's going to make inflation rise. You could say that if you want to be positive towards the tax cuts. But I say it's just more of a correction in general because it has been inflated for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So things were going a little too well.
A little too fast for basically where everything is. It was a little overinflated, and this was just going back over the past year in general. So it's sort of a way of just kind of catching its breath. I don't think it's a long-term thing. But, you know, we've been in the largest expansion that we've really ever had. So it is a little – you do get a little nervous thinking it's been 9 years now. How much longer this possibly lasts. But hopefully he's learned his lesson now. I doubt he has. But maybe he won't comment anymore on these big increases in the stock market because, again, it makes him look foolish when you have big drops like you did yesterday.
But does it only make him look foolish if he admits that it went down? Because now it went down, so it has that much further to go back up.
Right.
So the next time, it's like, look, it went all the way down from here. Let's ignore the fact
that but that's the problem, though, because then, again, and I get it, people are only going to look at the good things, and that's human nature. And it's not even just Trump. But the problem is then it's really just showing like, okay, he's only going to talk about the positive things and nothing bad. And it just looked bad, in my opinion, because it's just not what president should be that deep in the weeds. And you shouldn't be basing the economy off of a stock market that has 30 stocks in it. Is not the overall best picture of looking at the overall health of the economy in any sense, really.
Michael, I know you also don't have a business degree, so I'm not going to ask you to bring some pie charts up.
No money
in
the market either. It's...
But so, you know, you sort of hear that things aren't going well and the president is nowhere to be found. What does that say to you?
I mean, I've been under the same thing where, you know, I knew that at some point it was going to go down because, like we said, it has been overinflated. And it's just you see day after day, and I check it day after day because, you know, the money is in the market and you're like, oh, wow, another 200. Oh, my goodness, 250. Oh, hey, a bad day, 125. And you're like, oh, this is at some point it's going to come down. And you were just hoping that it would be up enough before it came back down, which I'm glad it was over 26. And again, bounced back today was great. I think that I wasn't surprised. I knew it was going to come. Now, did I think it would be, was it a 4.8%, I think, drop roughly, 1,100? I didn't expect that. It definitely hurt. But
after the 666
on
Friday,
that's a big
loss for the
Michael.
Few
days. As a good church going boy, does that number 666 does that ring any bells? Is that did you find that anywhere?
I think it was a roundup. Well, I don't think it was exactly 666.
No, it was. Well, it was a roundup, but it was 665.7.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that the number of the beast does not have
there's
fractions.
No rounding. So
there's no integer.
So we were
close.
Yeah.
We were close. Yes. And that's a warning. Look, we didn't get there this time. Yeah. But
wait until next time.
Anyway. So I think, I look at it moving forward of do I think it will continue to go like this? No. Obviously, I think it will level off a little bit. I think, I'm a fan of the tax cuts, so I think that they will continue to increase the market as people and consumer confidence grows. But I don't think we'll have the year over year like we did in his first year.
Yeah, I think I think that it was a good year for some people. I don't know that they're necessarily in our income bracket, but maybe they are. And if those people are watching or listening right now, thank you for being with us. We welcome all comers here. So you said you're a fan of the tax cut. In general, since you weren't here on State of the Union night, I thought I'd ask, how do you feel just on the whole? And look, there's things that you can pick and choose. How do you feel? It doesn't even have to be you personally. How do you feel like the majority of people that maybe you cross paths with? Do you find that it's kind of the same mix of people who do and don't like Trump as did and didn't like Obama? Or do you feel like it's skewed in one direction?
I think
you living in Los Angeles could really skew this answer, by the way.
For certain. And to give you a history, I'm raised in Wisconsin. I spent most of my life in the Midwest. I lived in D.C. And live in L.A. So I think for the most part, it's for people who talk about Trump, it's so secretive. For anyone, because it's like, even if something happens in support, you can't tweet about it. You can't put on Facebook because then you're labeled as that guy.
Yeah.
And so I think you can still have the conversations and the conversations and circles that I have are pro-Trump. And it's become more of a joke no matter what we do. Listen, I just want you to know that this is the best time ever. And so I think it's still secretive outside of the circles. Anyone that's casual that I talk with, it's still very much like you don't acknowledge the good. And you don't want to come off as totally biased, so you don't acknowledge the bad, which is not good either. So you find yourself in this like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've had this conversation with a number of people. Mm-hmm. But whatever I think about anything, if you look at my Facebook feed, you'd think that there's no news. You have no idea who the president mm-hmm. is. Although I guess
people
I do,
just want to stay out.
I guess I do sometimes link to a show called The Trump Report. Yeah. But in general, I don't even post that on Facebook all the time if I know what we're going to talk about. I'm like, I just don't want the headache.
It could have been called The Hillary Report, but he just happened to win.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't. Look, there was probably a graphic much like the one that's behind us.
If
here
it was
the
Hillary Report, though, it would talking about the memos. I think it'd be a lot more boring. We would just be
In all honesty, I think,
don't know what else we'd
I think
be.
The Hillary Report. We probably come out. We would have probably stopped doing.
Because I'm saying I don't think it would have.
It just would have been dull. Yeah. Although you know, I'm sure they could have spruced it up.
I'm
who knows?
Sure. They would have found an impeachment
just to do a callback. You know, let's see what kind of shenanigans Bill would be up to if mm-hmm. he was back in the White House. But anyway, it's somebody who even feels like the majority of their Facebook friends or Twitter followers yep. tend to agree with them, even if they still then put something, you're always going to get in a fight with somebody. Yep. There's always like that one cousin you mm-hmm. forgot about, yeah. or that person, you know, the person from high school that you don't talk to anymore and you don't know why you're friends with them mm-hmm. online. And you're just like, why am I going to fight over this?
I know.
So to me,
I do it on Twitter, and I stop, and they're strangers. And the problem is those fights can go on forever. There's no ending.
Exactly.
But they'll go on for days.
They have more time to reply. No matter
exactly.
what it is or what it is, they have more time.
And they will go on for days and days. And I'm like thinking, okay, I just have to end this now.
Yeah.
Just have to walk away.
But I alluded to it earlier, Michael, but Scott really does try to antagonize Mitch McConnell.
I do. I antagonize, and I do it on purpose. So I should rightfully
have you ever
so.
Gotten a reply? Ever gotten a like?
Not from him, but from his follow. You know, that's the thing. The people that will follow him or Donald Trump or Kellyanne or whatever, then I usually get those people riled up. And that's sort of my point. So I should know going into it that I'm going to get people that want to.
Yeah,
fight.
But in general, if it's like, wow, you know what? Just hypothetically, the tax cut was great for my family. Or, you know what he said in the State of the Union about how I was going to get $4,000 more this year?
Yeah.
I really did, and that meant a lot. Those are even those things. You're like, I don't think I should say that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You're like, oh yeah, how are things good?
Yeah,
like,
it's like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then it's like, how about that Trump? And then it's like, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, just say that. Because you're just like, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't even want to talk. You don't want to talk to somebody who really likes him.
Yep.
You don't want to talk to somebody who hates him.
Nope.
Because mm-hmm. it's not a great conversation either way.
It's
like,
so divisive.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's you just try to stay out of it and just do as little as possible. Which is, again, why I just make The Voice. Because then everybody laughs at The Voice.
That's true. I mean, even.
No, because am I making fun of him? Am I siding with him? Listen, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Everybody,
loves The Voice.
Believe me, loves The Voice.
Believe me, I love watching the show.
It's tremendous.
It's the best show ever.
The Trump Report is tremendous.
The Trump Report, tremendous.
Tremendous. Please let us know either in the chat or on Twitter at Trump Report ABTV some of your thoughts on the president and also just what you are willing to say on social media and what you're not willing to say on social media. We always appreciate that level of feedback.
And it's gone so far, you know, to close it out, of even polling. I don't trust polling anymore. Because even if you never are even honest to a computer screen, let alone honest to one of your friends of like, this is actually how I feel. Polling hasn't been accurate in 3 years. And we saw it obviously in the election. And now you notice it everywhere. And you're like, oh, really? That was the poll? But even how much of that is that? How much are people even willing to admit to a questionnaire on their on their computer screen?
I mean, exactly. I think the answer is not at all not much.
No. But they at least try to factor that in. And if it's with polling companies that I feel or at least have the experience, I might be more likely to at least get you'll get a general idea. More than anything, and I still believe polling has always been a sort of an inaccurate science, but you have the statistics to back it up. And yes, I get a lot of people, especially last year, did not want to admit that they were voting for Trump, and that was a big issue. But there's always there's always going to be a little bit of that doubt that's tried to be factored in. It's also like, who are the sample sizes? Who are the people that you're talking to? Mm-hmm. What are the ages? And that's also an issue too, because when you usually do a lot of these polls, you're talking to a lot of older people that have landlines when you're doing the phone calls, but a lot of younger people don't have landlines. So those people are out, which, you know, also you have to kind of put in it because they tend to be more liberal or more mobile and might be from the big cities and more likely to vote Democratic. So you have kind of both sides to it too, that happen with polling. And so it's a lot to factor in, but yeah, we did see a lot of issues last year, but I still think that a lot of the trusted ones are still...
Right, and you also have a lot of young people positive, who, if their phone starts ringing, they don't understand what that is, yeah. and they wouldn't know...
Do I know this number?
Or they're like, I don't know that number, and they're also like, well what is this? Like, what is my phone doing? I only really use it to text.
So, or for apps, or for games.
Before we run out of time, I wanted to get both of your thoughts on... There's the idea out there, there's been a lot written about it, this idea that Trump will actually speak in the Mueller hearings mm-hmm. and what it would be like. We've sort of touched on it in the past, but I'll ask you first, Michael. Do you think he's going to actually take the time to do this? And if so, what do you think it would be like?
I think it's going to be just like the memo, where it could be built up and there's nowhere that there's going to be any risk whatsoever of anything bad or tremendously good. And each party is going to claim success of, oh, but we got him to admit this. Oh, but look, he won because he went in front of, like, it's just going to be the same back and forth. There's going to, I see the sliver of risk in everything, especially in terms of being the president and the presidency. The sliver of risk is so small, which means the sliver of reward is equally as small.
Yeah, I think that there's very little to be gained, and
exactly.
Lots to be lost. Scott, I assume you hope that the president speaks, but
do
you think he will? And realistically? Let's not go to the Dream Journal. What I wish I saw. You know, that he rides in a unicorn or whatever. What do you
tweet
actually
that
think?
Picture out later?
Yes, exactly.
Tweet that out later.
I think that his lawyers are going to do everything in their power not to do it. But there's two sides of it, though, because then if you have the drag-out fight of trying mm-hmm. to force him to come in and maybe having a subpoena issued and it's dragged out, now it's back in the news again mm-hmm. every single day. It's in the attention to everybody when you're getting close to the midterms. So that could be bad for him. But the lawyers may try to do everything in their power not to have him go because they know he's a propensity to exaggerate. Regardless if you like him or not, he loves to exaggerate. He loves to talk, and he loves to kind of talk and get off subject there. So there is a good chance that he would say something that could either perjure himself or add to more crimes for him or other things that he could slip up and say. So sure. I actually think it's the opposite. I think the risk for him is far greater than the reward for actually going to talk to Mueller. Yep. But if it's dragged out long enough and becomes a bigger issue, it's going to be really bad for him as well, because then it's going to be in the news again, and it's going to be like, are they going to have to take it to the Supreme Court? Is that going to be a whole thing? And how is that going to motivate people when it comes closer to the midterm? So it's not really a good situation for him at all, but I think they're going to do everything in their power to delay him meeting with Mueller at all costs, as long as they can try to push it. Maybe they'll set up a date, and then they'll be like, oh, now he's got to move this, and try to push it for a while to hopefully, you know, get as close as they can to the elections, and then they'll try to do what they can to protect their client. I mean, that's what they're there for, and they don't want him to slip up and say something that's going to make it worse for him in the long run.
So you think they don't have faith in him?
No.
Under oath?
Absolutely not.
and not saying something disastrous?
Correct. Huh. Exactly. Huh. Right? I know, it's a surprise.
You'd think that they would they would know their client.
Yeah. But I mean, again, that's going to be anybody. That's not even just defending him. I mean, that's what a lawyer is going to do, is protect their client and at all possible not have them say something that could put themselves in a risk. I mean, that's why you always say when you're, you know, arrested, you have a right to have a lawyer before you say anything. It's the same thing, because you don't want to say something that's going to put yourself in a situation
exactly.
to where you're either admitting to a crime, but you weren't, but you felt coerced to because the people or the police are investigating you and asking you these questions and making you feel uncomfortable. It's the same thing with Mueller. I mean, they're trained to ask specific questions and to make people say things that maybe they wouldn't have said if they had their lawyer with them, or, you know. It's those type of things that they're going to be looking out for his best interest to make sure he doesn't do things like that.
I know that we are indeed out of time. I want to take one more minute and get each of your thoughts on something. President Trump speaking about the State of the Union address, was saying that the Democrats who did not applaud were treasonous. Now, we have seen in every State of the Union, mm-hmm. and so, you know, this year it was literally right down the middle. Like it was straight split. You could really see the standing and the not standing. But you always get that, no matter who has the supermajority, whatever. Right. It's always like that. There's nothing new about that. Mm-hmm. Republicans sitting on their hands when President Obama's speaking. But so
Trump sitting not clapping when Obama was making fun of him.
Right.
Of course,
exactly. At the aftermath. What did you think, Scott? Just a quick reaction,
line.
And then
if he wants Democrats to applaud him, he can resign, and then he'll get a standing ovation. Not even just applause; he will get a standing ovation. So he wants that. Resign, Donald, and you'll have it.
Scott Moore with the mic drop. A final thought from Michael.
It would
Klaus.
Only be if they forced him to resign, not if he chose to resign. Anything he chooses to do on his own, they're not going to support.
No. Yeah, they're like, can you believe he resigned so quickly?
No, we're against this. He thought of this.
I don't know. I feel like, you know what? It's very American to decide. Like, I am not going to stand up and applaud that.
It got tens of thousands of likes on Twitter. That succeeded exactly what he wanted to do.
Right.
That's true. It's like the NFL players kneeling, which don't think he actually has a problem with. He has a problem with NFL owners who didn't want him to own the Buffalo Bills. That's what I think.
Exactly.
But anyway, we are definitely out of time here. But thanks so much to everybody who watched this evening or afternoon, depending on when you watch it. Big thanks to Michael Klaus, who joined us for the first time. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I'll be back.
As I mentioned, you are a contributor to the Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro.
Yep.
You can find that at tomorrowshow.com. And, of course, the host of I Could Never Be at Popcorn Talk Network.
Yeah, Popcorn Talk and iTunes. And that is only positive content. So if you come here and you think, oh, divisiveness, no. Positive, uplifting content.
We love that.
It's amazing.
And, Scott, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80. And otherwise, Hollywood Mogul by day.
Yes, exactly. And you can find me online at ChristianDMZ. And as I mentioned, I have my own podcast, The Blackcast, BladtCast.
Check it out.
All over AfterBuzz TV. You can see me most days out of the week, it feels like. Anyway, thanks so much to everybody who joined us. Thanks to Anthony, a.k.a. at Tony B. Dead, BDED. In the booth, and we will see everybody next time here on the Trump Report.